6 screens of glass panel redundancy, and they all go dark at once. AOPA will pay up on its deal with the Civil Air Patrol. And Southwest Airlines kicks butt in the second quarter. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 25th, 2008. Whenever the topic of glass panels comes up, old-timers will warn you that you lose everything if they go dark. The typical rebuttal is that on redundant buses, that's highly unlikely. But the National Transportation Safety Board says there have been at least 49 cases in recent years of glass panels going dark on Airbus A319 and A320 airliners. And in 7 of those cases, all 6 displays went down together, taking with them comm radios, transponders, and traffic advisory systems. That was supposed to be impossible. On Wednesday, the NTSB issued 6 recommendations to address the concerns. Included are calls for a backup power supply to be added to the standby attitude indicator and the automatic reconfiguration of the AC essential bus power supply in the event that the AC-1 electrical bus fails. The NTSB also wants more crew training and additional simulator time to teach pilots what to do when good glass panels go bad. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been pushing for years to get pilots to pay close attention to the Air Defense Identification Zone and other post-9/11 airspace restrictions found around Washington, D.C. and the official presidential retreat at Camp David, Maryland. AOPA especially wanted to avoid violations by pilots visiting its own open house last month at its headquarters in Frederick, so it waged an all-out information war to make sure the word got out. There were posters to FBOs east of the Mississippi. There were emails sent to AOPA members. And in the most aggressive tactic yet, AOPA made a deal with the Civil Air Patrol. Position your people at small airports within a gas tank of AOPA's Frederick, Maryland headquarters. Ask departing pilots if they're headed for the AOPA open house. And if they are, make sure they know about the restricted airspace. The plan succeeded. There were 0 violations for the event. And now AOPA says it will honor its half of the deal. At CAP's national board meeting coming up August 8th in Kissimmee, Florida, south of Orlando, AOPA will hand over a check for $5,000. AOPA President Phil Boyer adds, quote, "This is money I'm glad to give away," unquote. Well, it's no wonder. Did anybody calculate the effective hourly rate for all those volunteers? Southwest Airlines is often mentioned as the best run of the U.S. domestics, and its second quarter financial statement demonstrates why. As competitors attempt to put positive spins on losses in the millions or even billions for the quarter, Southwest reports second quarter earnings of $321 million. That's nearly an all-time company record. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly is pleased, but obviously not resting on his fuel hedges. Quote, "Although we have prepared ourselves well for today's challenging environment and are proud of our ability to sustain profitability, we cannot stand still. We must continue to make the necessary adjustments to adapt to higher jet fuel prices and restore our profit margins," unquote. Southwest's 16 cents per share profit beat estimates from analysts who were looking for 12 cents. Southwest has put hedges in place that should guarantee that at least for the next several years, it'll have fuel costs significantly below its rivals, unless oil prices fall significantly, and not too many people expect that to happen. Also important in the long term, in markets where competitors are cutting back capacity in an attempt to drive up fares, Southwest can strategically expand, providing an opportunity to both increase its own market share and keep pressure on the profit margins of competitors. Kelly acknowledges Southwest has plans to, quote, "meet customer demand in developing markets such as Denver. As a consequence, we will grow to 115 daily departures to 32 markets in November," unquote. Continental, United, and 8 other Star Alliance member airlines filed an application with the U.S. Department of Transportation this week, seeking to admit Continental into the group of 9 which already have been given antitrust immunity. Approval by the DOT would let Continental partner with the others to streamline flight schedules, fares, and services. Separately, Continental, United, Lufthansa, and Air Canada have requested DOT approval to establish a transatlantic joint venture to create a more efficient network, offering customers more service, scheduling, and pricing options, and establishing a framework for similar joint ventures in other regions of the world. The DOT has approved more than 20 applications for antitrust immunity in the past. Though they're not full-fledged mergers, the partnerships offer many of the same advantages. Coming up next on ANN, new FAA medical rules are great news for younger pilots. the oldest surviving B-17 is prepared for a new home. And a Corsair will be restored after 36 years in exile on a signpost. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin. Follow the leader.
This is Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Rocket Racing League, a new sports entertainment league for the 21st century. The league features rocket-powered aircraft called Rocket Racers, which include a spectacular 15-foot colored plume and sounds you can feel in your chest. RRL pilots will navigate a three-dimensional racetrack in the sky while managing pit stops and limited fuel supplies. You can view the inaugural flights of the Rocket Racer at EAA AirVenture 2008, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday at 2:30. We hope to see you there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is applauding a change in FAA rules regarding medical certificates, which appears to acknowledge the almost infinitesimal role played by pilot incapacitation in accidents. The new rule took effect yesterday. Pilots under 40, who were previously required to get a third-class medical renewed every 36 months, now have 60 calendar months, or 5 years. First-class medicals now last 12 calendar months, up from 6. This means that some pilots under 40 who'd let their medicals lapse will find themselves suddenly eligible again to act as pilots in command. Younger pilots who got their last first-class medicals between 6 and 12 calendar months ago will find them back in effect. If the exam was between 12 and 60 months ago, the first class automatically reverts to a third class. There's no change for pilots over 40. AOPA President Phil Boyer welcomed the news. Quote, AOPA supported the FAA's move that makes it easier and more affordable for younger pilots to fly, unquote. AOPA says its medical certification staff handles about 20,000 pilot medical inquiries every year and has been able to advance and streamline the medical certification process for pilots. More detailed information on the rule change and details on help available from AOPA can be found at www.aopa.org. A famous example of World War II aviation history will soon have a new home. The Swoos, the oldest surviving B-17 flying fortress known to historians, and the last remaining D model, was moved from its former home at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum this week and will soon be shipped to the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force in Dayton, Ohio. The Swoos started life as Old Betsy and flew the first of what would be many combat missions over the Philippines and South Pacific mere hours after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. It was damaged by enemy fighters in January 1942, and in addition to being repaired with new tail guns and engines from other flying forts, the plane also earned its new name after a popular contemporary song of the time about a half swan, half goose. General George Brett, commander of Allied Air Forces in the region, later used the Swoos as his personal aircraft. At the end of the war, the plane returned to the States for use as a high-speed transport before finally being retired from service as one of only a few active-duty planes to serve the duration of U.S. involvement in World War II. Upon the Swoos's arrival at its new home, the museum will catalog all the parts and determine how best to restore the historic aircraft. It took 4 hours after a three-month delay, but the vintage chance-bought FG-1D Corsair that has spent the last 36 years atop a post greeting visitors to Sikorsky Memorial Airport in Bridgeport, Connecticut, is now back in a hangar awaiting restoration. The Connecticut Post reports crews successfully dismounted the plane from the pedestal Tuesday afternoon and moved the World War II fighter 300 yards to the three-wing aircraft hangar, where it will undergo a complete refurbishment. World War II veteran and former Marine pilot Art Miller flew 111 missions in Corsairs. Quote, Nobody living today appreciates the durability and reliability of this plane more than the guys who actually flew them. We've been very interested in seeing this thing refurbished. It serves as a source of pride to the entire community, unquote. The restoration will be done by volunteers in the Connecticut Air and Space Museum. It was with sadness that ANN learned Wednesday that Alan Henley, lead pilot for the Aeroshell aerobatic team, was injured Tuesday night in an accident while playing with his kids at home in Birmingham, Alabama. A chin-up bar gave way while Henley was on it, and the subsequent fall caused severe head and neck injuries. Henley is in ICU now at the University of Alabama Birmingham Trauma Unit. He's in serious but stable condition. Steve Gustafson, left wing for the team, said, quote, "Our prayers are with Alan and his family, and we are hoping for him to have a speedy and full recovery," unquote. Regarding Oshkosh next week, he added, quote, "The show must go on. Alan will be missed terribly, but we'll be there flying for him until he recovers," unquote. The Aeroshell aerobatic team is a four-ship formation of vintage North American AT-6 Texans. All of us here at ANN wish Alan a quick return to the air. Still ahead, the sailplane community mourns an all-time great. Eurocopter scores a nice buy from U.S. Customs. And Rocket Racing League pilots will look just fabulous. You're listening to Aero News.
The Evolution Flight Display is the first expandable glass cockpit system for GA aircraft. It's easy to afford, with breakthrough performance, easy to install into existing panels, and delivers enhanced safety, reduced pilot workload, and the ability to grow with you and your airplane. The Evolution Flight Display brings technology and capability, once available only in the largest aircraft or at enormous expense, to your aircraft, with little more downtime and cost than overhauling your antiquated mechanical gyros. Find out more at AspenAvionics.com.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
An easy flight is a safe flight. That's why L3 Avionics Systems designed the most advanced glass cockpit system available to be intuitive and easy to use. The Smart Deck integrated flight controls and display system shows you what you need to know when you need to know it, because the system was created around the way pilots fly. With Smart Deck, interaction between pilot and aircraft is fluid, and advanced technology puts you in control with an extra layer of safety. Fly Smart Deck to get the ultimate glass cockpit experience at AirVenture or visit smartdeck.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 25th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Dick Johnson, an 11-time national and one-time world soaring champion, was lost Wednesday on what was to have been a routine flight near Midlothian, Texas. He was 85 years old. The FAA's preliminary report indicates Johnson took off at 11:40 a.m. local time. WFAA TV News reports witnesses saw his Shemp Hirth Ventus A dip below a tree line soon after release. They found the wreckage a short time later, 2 miles south of the field, in a quarry. The cause is still unknown. Weather seemed ideal for an afternoon of gliding. 89 degrees Fahrenheit, light winds, 4,000 scattered. Jeff Baird of the Texas Soaring Association in Midlothian said of Johnson, quote, "He learned to fly before World War II. He loved his family, and he loved soaring, and he flew every chance he could get," unquote. Johnson's friend Dick Mockler said, quote, "He probably couldn't imagine a better way to go if he had to go. To go in his sailplane was probably the best," unquote. American Eurocopter, a subsidiary of EADS North America, announced this week it's been awarded a contract with the Department of Homeland Security to provide U.S. Customs and Border Protection with additional AS-350B3s. This latest contract has the potential to total over $150 million. The contract is an indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery contract, with a base year and 4 one-year options. American Eurocopter expects up to 50 additional orders from CBP through the life of the contract. The agency already has 48 AS-350s and 15 EC-120s, with 5 additional 120s on order. The company says U.S. Customs and Border Protection wants an initial order of 17 machines, with the first to be delivered in 2009, and a target of another one every 45 days when rate production is achieved. The AS350 is in service with 75 agencies across the nation, including FBI, DEA, and the Department of Justice. Other Eurocopter models are flown by the U.S. Coast Guard, state and local law enforcement agencies, and emergency medical response units nationwide. Menswear designer DKNY Men announced this week its new lifestyle brand has been named the official clothing sponsor of the Rocket Racing League. DKNY Men exclusively designed the flight suits to be worn by the Rocket Racing League pilots and pit crews. The brand is also designing and producing the clothing to be worn by all Rocket Racing League executives and staff. DKNY Men will also sponsor Bridenstine Rocket Racing, one of six competing teams in the league. The DKNY logo will be emblazoned across the wings of the team plane, as well as on support equipment and team uniforms. The new uniforms and staff apparel will be introduced during the first public rocket racing flight demonstration at EAA Air Venture this Tuesday afternoon in Oshkosh. Patty Cohn, Executive VP of Global Marketing and Communications for the company, says, quote, "In launching DKNY Men, we seek to develop sponsorships that capture not only the lifestyle of our consumer, but their imaginations as well. Rocket racing is innovative, fast, and fun, which also defines the kind of man who wears DKNY. This partnership is just the beginning for both the brand and the sport," unquote. Rocket Racing League CEO Granger Whitelaw observes, quote, "Bringing DKNY Men on board as our first corporate sponsor further validates the Rocket Racing League is the future of premier sports and entertainment branding. Our rocket planes, billowing 15-foot flames with ear-splitting sound, will captivate audiences around the world and put DKNY above Madison Avenue," unquote. EAA President Tom Poberesny commented, quote, "No, really, I think this is great. Designer flight suits from New York. I suppose now we'll need a male manicure booth in Exhibit Hangar E." I made that last part up. Finally, a Manhattan, New York resident has filed a class action lawsuit against Delta Airlines, claiming he spent 8 months in an unsuccessful attempt to get a refund for the canceled portion of a flight. The New York Daily News reports 38-year-old Thomas Mullaney was in Rome last October to attend a wedding with his girlfriend. He says Delta first lost his luggage on the way there, including his tux. Then on the way home, Delta canceled the leg of the flight from Paris back to New York because of a strike at Charles de Gaulle Airport. Mullaney says not only did Delta deny the refund, but refused to let him book an alternate flight by phone. He says he was told he'd have to go to the airport in person to make arrangements. Quote, "It was like a soccer riot. It was filled with people who were out of their minds angry," unquote. He says he finally got home on American Airlines, but isn't going to let it drop. He's filed a $5 million lawsuit against Delta and is seeking class action status, assuming there are thousands of other Delta passengers out there who were also stiffed. To be fair, airlines usually group strikes in with acts of God and sell reasonably priced trip insurance to cover these eventualities. But Mullaney insists, quote, "I should not have to accept just having this money stolen," unquote. I have to tell you, I find his indignation a little humorous, a little bit of the pot calling the kettle. You see, Mullaney is a class action lawyer from Manhattan, and I'm not really sure who to root for here. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Rocket Racing League CEO Granger Whitelaw. The first public demonstration of the Rocket Racers is Tuesday at Oshkosh, and we'll find out what we should expect. I mean, besides perfect grooming. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be coming to you Monday from Oshkosh. Have a clear and unlimited day.